The year was 1999. Texas singer-songwriter Billy Joe Shaver wrote a song entitled The Bow and Arrow. This was a song that he dedicated to his son. And in that song, Billy Joe describes the process of how a son works to raise his child to adulthood. And then, much like an archer with a bow, draws back an arrow and flies it, hoping the course of the arrow is true. This is the same way a parent raises up his child and then turns them loose out into the world, hoping that they'll live a good and godly life. The first verse of that song goes like this: "My only son, my precious one, come listen here to me. I am the bow, you are the arrow, and now you must fly free. The bow is bent, so the arrow is sent on its long and graceful glide, and the path you make will become your fate. God is on your side." In honor of Psalm 127 and old Billy Joe, who passed away not long ago, the title of our message this morning is "I Am the Bow." And as we begin, I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to Psalm 127. And while you're doing that, I'm going to tell you something that most of you probably already know. Our enemy, the devil, has unleashed an all-out war against the family. And when I say family, I'm talking about the institution of family. I'm talking about your family. And if you don't believe that there is a war going on against the family today, let me say very kindly, I really don't think you've been paying close enough attention. Things that 30 or 40 years ago would have been considered deviant behavior by society at large, well, now those same things are being celebrated in the streets. They're being taught in our schools and universities as perfectly normal and acceptable behavior. So we have a generation of children who are now being indoctrinated by the media, by the educational system, by the celebrities and the politicians to believe that regardless of how ungodly some behavior may be, it's not off limits. As a matter of fact, it's encouraged and it's supposed to be celebrated. And God help you if you have the courage to actually stand up for your Christian values and still call sin, sin. Because if you do that, you're going to be labeled as an intolerant bigot whose outdated Christian beliefs are symptomatic of everything that's wrong in this country today. Now, folks, this kind of attack on the family is dangerous, but it's easy to spot because it comes at you head on. But most attacks on the family are a little more subtle. For example, let's say you happen to be watching a movie today. Maybe it's a comedy. In most of these movies, you will see that they mock or they ridicule the traditional family. They mock traditional marriage. And in most of these movies, the dad is portrayed as some kind of clueless idiot. He doesn't know anything about anything. And then if it's not a comedy, maybe it's a serious movie. The father is often portrayed as a cruel, vindictive man who's overbearing. And if he happens to be a religious dad, he will undoubtedly be portrayed as an overly strict, overbearing man who is emotionally and maybe even physically abusive toward his family. Now, despite what Hollywood or Washington, D.C. or anybody else will tell you, and regardless of what they're promoting as the new normal, folks, I really believe with all my heart that parents who do not teach their children to love the Lord and who do not raise them up according to the Bible, they're going to have some very deep and painful regrets. J. Paul Getty, back in his day, was one of the very richest men on the face of the earth, And that's back when a dollar was actually still worth a dollar. Back then, Mr. Getty had amassed a fortune of more than $4 billion. Now, all this time later, in the year 2021, if you have $4 billion, pretty much everybody in the world would call you a success. And yet, in his autobiography, listen to what J. Paul Getty said. "I have never been given over to envy, except for the envy I feel toward those people who have had the ability to make a marriage work and endure happily. It's an art I have never been able to master." My record? 5 marriages, 5 divorces. In short, 5 failures. And speaking of his relationship with his 5 sons, he simply described them as painful. And much of that pain was passed on with his money when he died. His youngest son, a little sickly kind of boy named Timothy, he was born when Getty was 53, and that little boy died at the age of 12 because of some surgical complications after living his first 12 years as a very sick child, always separated from his dad because his dad was always gone on business. Now, I want you to think about something here. Here was a man that the world would call an overwhelming success, and yet he himself confessed, "I have been an abject failure in the things that really matter." Now, I'm using these illustrations this morning to show you that the devil has done a real good job of attacking and ruining families. And when we talk about what's going on today in many of our families in America, and of course, listen, I never discount the importance of the mom. We all know the mom is the rock of the family. But I want to tell you this. Especially today in this society we live in, it is impossible for me to overestimate the importance of a father. Now, we're going to look at Psalm 127 today and see what the Word of God has to say about this. Verse 1, oh, by the way, this particular psalm was not written by King David. It was rather written by his son Solomon, who is called in the Scripture the wisest man who ever lived, so you might want to pay attention. Verse 1, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Old J. Paul Getty said, "Never been able to master that art." Well, of course not, because no matter how much you tried, you can't do it without God. Now, the psalm goes on to say, "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman awaketh, but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows." Old J. Paul Getty had $4 billion, and he was eating the bread of sorrows. "For so he giveth his beloved sleep," and then he says this, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is his reward, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Here's what he's saying. Child is like an arrow, and a dad is like the archer that puts that arrow in his bow and he lets it fly. Dads are to be mighty men. Children are to be arrows in the hand of the father. That's what the Bible says. Now, with that as a background, today we're going to be talking about dads who shoot straight and children who hit the mark. 3 points we're going to be talking about over the next 2 weeks. This is a little 2-part miniseries. Now, point number 1, if you want to have a successful family and good kids, number 1, the archer must be strong. Look again at verse 4. "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man." I think it's been roughly 17 years ago. My brother-in-law gave me my first bow. And I will tell you this about archery and especially bow hunting. there is a lot more to it than initially meets the eye. And it doesn't make one bit of difference if a guy has the most expensive bow in the shop and he's got all kinds of high-tech gadgets hanging off of there. If the man does not shoot with proper form and he doesn't have a smooth draw and a consistent anchor point and he does not perfect his release, he will never be able to make those arrows go where he wants them to go. Isn't that right? All right. Now, to perfect your skills with a bow, it takes a lot of determination and a whole lot more practice. Now, the same thing holds true for being a good dad. This is what we're talking about this morning. Now, to be a good man, that's a very difficult thing to do. But it's even more difficult to be a good husband. The most difficult thing of all, though, is to be a good father. Now, when the arrow misses its mark, we're back to archery for a minute. Now, we're going to tie this into parenting. When the arrow misses its mark, it could be for a lot of reasons. Occasionally, you may get a bad arrow. Now, today, with the carbon arrows, that doesn't happen too much because a carbon arrow is either perfect or it's completely shattered. It's either broke or it's perfect. But if you still shoot aluminum arrows or even wood arrows, occasionally, you get one of those things that's warped or bent. And I don't care how good you're releasing your that arrow is not going to go straight. It's just not going to. Other times, you might shoot straight, but a strong wind could blow your arrow slightly off course. Sometimes you might even be trying to hit a moving target, which is extremely difficult. But listen, none of that diminishes the archer's responsibility. It actually increases his responsibility to shoot his arrows with great skill. Now, God has given us these children, and the Bible says they're like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Now, you may be hearing all this and going, hey, man, what has any of this got to do with my responsibility as a dad? Well, let me tell you, your responsibility as a dad is to shape, to sharpen, and to shoot your arrows at the bullseye. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Do you know what my goal is? You say, well, yeah, you want to be a good pastor. I do want to be a good pastor. That is important. And I want to be a good preacher. But I will tell you this. If I ever had to choose between my job and my family, I'm choosing my family. Now, that doesn't mean I don't love the church. But listen, this church has been here 183 years. You guys have had a whole bunch of different pastors. And if you had to, you could get another pastor. My kids are only ever going to have one dad. And the fact is, I'll be an even better pastor if I can love my wife and my kids the way the Bible says I'm supposed to. This is why 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says this. If a man know not how to rule his own home, how shall he take care of the church of God? So again, the first point in being a successful father, raising good children, is that the archer has to be strong. Verse 4 says, his arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. Now listen, this is not talking about physical strength at all. Because if it was, some of us couldn't qualify. What we're talking about here is spiritual strength, and any man can be spiritually strong if he will submit his life to God. Now, that's the first point. Here's point number two. Not only must the archer be strong, the arrows must be straight. And I will tell you this, as a father of four kids myself, children are not born straight arrows. They have to be made into straight arrows. I've already explained you can't shoot straight if the arrows are crooked. So what is your job as a dad? Once again, it's to shape, it's to sharpen, and it's to shoot those arrows that God's put in your hand. And it is one of the most difficult tasks you'll ever take on. This is undoubtedly the reason we have so many dropout and deadbeat dads in this country today. I will tell you, the problem in our society, all this crime and craziness you see in the street, the problem is not primarily juvenile delinquency. It's the delinquency of dads. Dads who have failed to do what they ought to do. They failed to discipline those children when they were young, and now you see the results of that every time you turn on the news. Now, if you're a person who takes notes, I encourage you to write down a couple verses here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture literally means discipline, and the word admonition means teaching. So we are to bring our children up in the discipline and teaching of the Lord. Put this verse down, Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Do you know what one of the prime characteristics of a successful dad is? And it's not how much money he makes. It is whether or not his kids are spiritually sharp and emotionally straight. Your arrows got to be sharp and they got to be straight. Look back again, Psalm 127, verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. There's a time, dads, when those arrows are in your hands. There's also going to come a time when they're not in your hands anymore. Now, when the arrow is in your hand, you got a responsibility. But so many men today, they want to shirk that responsibility. They want to pass it on to so-called professionals because they feel like somebody else ought to handle that job for them. Now, I don't know who the author of this was, but I stumbled across this and I typed this out word for word. Listen to this. This kind of sums up how people do things today. It's talking about the relationship between a dad and his little boy. No longer does he need to sit in your big easy chair and listen while you read Jack and the Beanstalk. Now there's a professional storyteller called television. It never dozes off. It never becomes impatient. And you can work a few extra hours in the office earning a little more money so your children can have a bigger television. You can now put him in the hands of a professional educator who will have him from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. 5 days a week. And he can tell your child about the birds and the bees, and your child will get his sex education there. And you'll have time to accumulate more things. You can work a few more hours and pay a professional to mow your lawn and wash your car. That way your child will not have to learn discipline or responsibility. And with your extra money, you can spend more time on the golf course. You may even provide him with a swimming pool to swim in at home or at the club. And when he gets into high school, you'll be able to afford a professional guidance counselor who can give him ideas about what he should do with his future. Your extra money will pay for that. Another professional can teach him how to drive a car, and with your extra money, you can buy him a brand new car. No need for you to get your hands greasy working side by side with him, teaching him how to change oil and spark plugs. Now, friends, everything in that tells us there's something wrong with it, doesn't it? Kids need dads, and there is absolutely no way you can pay somebody else to do the job God wants you to do yourself. Now, maybe you're saying, okay, I hear what you're saying, but how do I shape and how do I sharpen these arrows? Let me give you a few things. Maybe you want to write these down. Number one, you got to begin early. When is the best time to straighten a tree? When it's still a little twig and it's pliable, or when it gets real big? No, man, you got to do that when it's young and pliable, right? This is the reason Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't turn from it. Little children can be shaped and molded relatively easily. And do you know why? First of all, their curiosity factor is so high. Why, Daddy? Why? Hey, Daddy, what's that? How come this? How come that? Men, when your son or your daughter asks you why, that's a teaching moment right there. So don't tell them to quit asking why. Answer their questions. Now, another reason the child can be shaped easily when they're young is because their memory factor is so high. Don't tell me a little kid can't memorize stuff. Think about this. By the time they're two, they've learned a foreign language. Another reason kids can be shaped when they're young is because their trust factor is at its highest point. Little kids trust. That's the reason Matthew 18:3 says, except you become as little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Also, a little child's humility factor is at an all-time high. They don't have any pride that prevents them from being taught something, right? They also have this innate ability to believe what you tell them. And these are all reasons why you have to begin early if you want to shape and sharpen your children. Because tomorrow, your little son or daughter is not going to be asking why. That little schoolboy or little schoolgirl, they're not going to ask you to help with homework anymore. So number one, you got to begin early. Number two, you got to be creative. When God told the Jewish people how to train up their children back in the Old Testament days, listen to what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine hearts, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. The idea here is that no matter what you're doing with your kids, it's an opportunity to teach them biblical principles for life. And there's all kinds of different ways to teach. You don't have to force this down their throat like some terrible taste in medicine. You can teach them in a loving way how to worship God. And teaching your children about the Lord, it shouldn't be an unpleasant or stressful ordeal. It should happen naturally as you walk with your kids and talk with them, as you sit with them, and just go through normal day-to-day life. So find some creative ways to teach them about the Lord. And the third thing you got to do, if you're going to shape and sharpen your children, you got to build character. We're in short supply of character today. You know what most dads are working on with their kids? Sports, grades, popularity, not character. Somebody says, well, what exactly is character? Well, first of all, it's integrity, but it's also other things. I'm going to quickly move through a list of key words that kind of give attributes of character. And as I read these words, I want you to ask yourself, who is going to teach these things to my son or my daughter? Contentment, courage, courtesy, discernment, fairness, friendship, or friendliness. Generosity, gentleness, helpfulness, honesty, humility, kindness, obedience, patience, persistence, self-control, thankfulness, wisdom, and zeal. Where do you think your kids are going to learn those things? In school? No. Dad, you got to help build character in these kids. And when you compliment your children, compliment them for showing good character, not just for making good grades or cranking home runs. Compliment them when they're showing good character qualities. We got to raise these children up to be men and women of godly character who love the Lord. And we come back next week, we're going to pick it up right here for part two of this mini-series from Psalm 127. But as we close today, let me say this. If you're hearing these words come out of this pulpit today and you're saying, I'm not the father God wants me to be, I'm not even the man I want to be, you can talk to God about that right now. You can do it silently right where you sit. Humble yourself before God. Ask him to forgive your sins, to help you overcome your faults and your shortcomings. And if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you to do that today before you leave. And then ask him to help you be the man, the husband, and the father that he wants you to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your holy word tells us that you are a father to the fatherless. And Lord, there's a whole lot of kids out there. They have biological fathers, but they're still pretty much fatherless. Lord, we ask you to help us do a better job as men in general of doing what we're supposed to do. Father, we are living in a time where we're being told that we should be ashamed of being men. Lord, they call it toxic masculinity. As I see society trying to emasculate and feminize men everywhere I'm looking, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be godly and courageous men, men of character, husbands with integrity. Lord, help us to be good dads. Help us to love our children, Lord, even as you love us. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus and for his sake, amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you all. Please bow for the benediction. May the Lord make you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen.